Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2024. That's right, we're back again, like so long after we did the last episode. I'm Tommy, JV sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I really feel like we should make money for the longest periods being podcast of any podcast out there. Like, it's really, really bad.
It is really bad.
I tell people that we've done this for so long, and I take great pride in telling people that we are one of the oldest podcasts on the internet.
For sure.
And the reason that we're one of the oldest podcasts on the internet is because we're lucky if we do a show once a month. We don't do it normal like everybody else, but it is what it is. We're happy to be here.
Yep.
And I love video games.
Yes, I do too. Even though I've had very little time to do much with them. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, because we both have played a little bit of stuff. I know you've played quite a bit of stuff I'm excited to hear about.
You had some drama in your house.
So. I have. We'll get into that here in just a little bit as well. But before all that, just what we're doing on today's show, because we got to preface it, and we're not going to remember half of it. But we're still catching up from Summer Game Fest stuff, so we are going to talk at least tangentially about most of the other Summer Game Fest stuff that we hadn't talked about yet. UB and PC Game Show and Future Game Show and Devolver. And yeah, we're going to pick little pieces out of them, and we're probably not going to cover any of them too much in depth, just with the nature of how long ago it's been, over a month since those things happened. So we are behind. We apologize for that, but we still want to talk about some of that stuff. And honestly, there's just not a lot else going on in the video game world right now, so it gives us something to talk about. So that's what we will do here in a little bit, but we'll chat a little bit before that. But before all that, big thanks to the Patreon supporters: Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. Thank you all again, as we've said many times recently, and we'll hopefully be saying this less pretty soon. But even through how long it takes us to get these shows out right now, we appreciate your support. And we are hoping for more consistency in about a month or so, hopefully. Until then, we're still going to be doing this kind of trying to make it work as much as we can with the craziness of kids and summer schedules and all that such.
I'm going to get you for about a month, and then you're going to start teaching again.
Right. To be honest with you, it's when I start teaching is when things are actually going to open up a little bit. It's the upside down world. And that, like, when I go back to work full time is when I'll actually have a little bit more space, because kids will also be in school, and that's what matters now. So
I love the Stranger Things reference. I was watching an episode of that last night, and I'm in season 3, and you're 1,000% right. That show gets darker, and the darker that it gets, I don't really think that I'm like a suspense guy.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm watching it, but I really don't like it. Like, I'm watching it, but like, This is the season with the, like, oozy stuff that comes out of, like, rats explode, and, like,
right,
stuff oozing over there, over everywhere, and Billy just, like, found a woman to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know? And,
yeah, Billy gets, like, real screwed up.
I don't know that I like this a lot. I mean, Steve is serving ice cream. Steve went from a dude that had, like, Lucille and Nancy, and he's serving ice cream with a freaking sailor's hat. Like, what the crap is going on here?
Yeah,
like I'm not a boo guy.
Yeah,
which makes no sense to me, because we've talked about, I love Resident Evil. I love it, especially the originals. I love the original Resident Evil, but I'm not enjoying watching Stranger Things. I'm going to finish it. because, you know, it's like 10 episodes at this point.
Yeah.
So you got to finish it. But I'm not, I hate to admit, I'm not enjoying it so much.
Interesting. This season gets less, I'll say that a little bit, kind of less dark. It gets pretty goofy at times, too, with what you get a little farther into it. Season four is even darker, like way darker. Season four. It's not a whole lot of jump scares and that kind of stuff, though it does have that from time to time. But it is gory and brutal. And so season five is going to be crazy.
Somebody just walking into my house, so we're gonna take just a quick second. And I'm gonna point to the floor and just point out to her that there's a piece of foam on my floor that needs to go on this microphone. And so we're going to do that like right on the air. Right, this is a high-quality podcast we have right here. High-quality stuff!
I like
it. High-quality stuff. Thank you.
Look at that.
Look at that. Look at that! That's my aunt, ladies and gentlemen. She shows up whenever I need her. She's fabulous. And I would be totally and completely lost without her. I actually told her not to come because I didn't think she could get her fast enough. But she did. And here we are. Technology works. Ain't it wonderful?
Yes.
So, Stranger Things is... I just don't know. I just don't know. I like the concept. But I don't know.
Yeah. That first season is just so magical. Like it could never like achieve what it did in that first season. And it would have been like, if it would have just been that as the whole thing, it would have been great. But I, you know, like I'm very anxious about season five and looking forward to it. But I will go back and rewatch it from the beginning, mostly just to have an excuse to watch season one. If I don't make it through seasons two, three, and four, I'll be okay. But I will watch season one again before every season of Stranger Things.
Well, I will tell you, those kids are fabulous. As they get older, the kids are fabulous. They just are. And I think the reason is because they remind us of us.
Yes.
I mean, even in the later season, they remind us of us.
Yes. And it is very relatable, for sure. So
yes, it is.
Which, I'm glad you're enjoying that.
Which reminds me, speaking of us, you have talked a lot in previous episodes about Arcade Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you spent a lot of time playing that on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
It is available on Epic for free tomorrow.
Nice.
So that's I'm going to be picking that up.
Yeah, that's one worth spending some time with. It's pretty cool. Like I said, it was my childhood, almost eerily so. And so I have a weird nostalgic connection with that game that most people won't have as directly as I do. But it's still it's a fun little sim where you get to play a whole bunch of random arcade games and then also do laundry. Which is a weird thing to do in a game, but you do laundry. So just be prepared.
As a guy that has never done laundry in his life, like, you know,
right.
Work. It's like a little, oh, this is what I've been missing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That'll be weird.
But. So there you go. Worth checking out. And go pick it up. I'll mention here, we'll get into this discussion and talk about games. What we've been playing, because what I've been playing just a little bit, I haven't played a ton of stuff, but what I've been playing just a little bit is contingent on the stuff that has happened over here, which is the 2080 video card that Duff sent us long ago, which was fabulous, is no longer functioning. Died on me. We got back from vacation, hadn't fired anything up for a while. You sent me a text message that said you need to check out The Invincible, which I'm excited to hear about here in just a little bit. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And I went and downloaded it and fired it up, and it crashed. I was like, that's weird stuff doesn't crash on my system, like very rarely, you know, at this point it's a brand new system. And so I did it again and it crashed and I said, okay, that's weird. Let me try something else. And I fired up Cyberpunk and it crashed and I went, okay, this is now not a
problem.
And so I ran a stress test on the graphics card and my whole system crashed. I went, okay, I think we've got an issue here, and did that several times and did several other things, wiped drivers, updated, did everything I could think of, checked power supply, on and on and on and on. And it turns out that the video card was fried. It would essentially just like wouldn't temperature control itself is what it seems like it's doing. I could manually ramp up the fans, but it wouldn't control the fans itself and it would just crash once it got to like 65 degrees, which is not crazy hot by any means, but just crashes. So all that to say, had to go get a new video card, which isn't the worst thing in the world to have to go get a new video card.
It's like one of the greatest things about the show. When one of us looks at your wife and says, we have to do this. Yo,
I'm so sorry, but this is necessary for us.
We get that look. And then she rolls her eyes and she walks away. We've been doing that for 20 years. And honestly, I think that's why we're still here.
For sure.
We can occasionally say, I'm sorry, we have to do this.
This is necessary. It is vital. So we already said thank you to the Patreon guys, but I want to say thank you again because you all helped pay for a new video card so that I could keep on gaming on my PC that Duff donated a significant portion of. And so all thanks to listeners of this show. I am back and running on an even nicer rig now because I found a really good deal on a 4070. And so now I have a 4070 in my rig.
Ooh, boy, aren't they great?
It is really nice. It is not bad at all for obvious, like, tons of reasons. Like, it's just a smoking card. But also, after having ran the 2080 for a while, which was working great for me, but was super loud because it when it did ramp up, the fans ramped up in that thing, it sounded like a jet engine. Yeah. This thing is like super quiet.
It is.
It runs so quiet. It's so nice.
Crazy thing is because I think we have the same card and that's why you got it so cheap. Did you get the 12 gig version?
I did get the 12 gig version. It's the dual fan, not the triple fan. I think I got the triple fan for you.
Yeah, right.
But other than that.
So the thing that's crazy about that card is that it's super quiet. I don't even realize that it's really running.
Yeah.
Until I'm like an hour and a half into a game and I go, holy cow, it's hot in here. Because it is pushed so much heat out of the system.
Yeah.
And then you stop and you listen and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I
noticed when it kicks off, I'm like, oh, it was running. it's great. It's so quiet. It's so
this is a discussion I was not planning on having.
Yep.
And we shouldn't have it because you just bought a brand new video card. But I just want to put something in your ear.
Yeah.
Duff texted me and got all excited because NVIDIA has a new app. They have this NVIDIA app thing, which you probably found while you were doing drivers and all that jazz. And one of the things... The NVIDIA app replaces the GeForce Experience. And it's beta software, but it's built to replace the GeForce Experience that we've been using for a while. And one of the things that is quote-unquote cool about it is that it has a function to use AI to overclock your video card.
Nice.
And so Duff sends me a text and says, you got to get this. It's really cool. I did this and here are my results. And I was like, well, that sounds cool, but it seems a little low because I've done some overclocking in my life. And so I went to the internet, went to Google, and Google says, don't use NVIDIA software with AI. Go to MSI Afterburner, which we have used for years.
Yep.
And so I download MSI Afterburner and start messing around with the clocks. And I will tell you something, sir. These 4070s in particular are highly overclockable.
Mm.
I bumped the memory by like a gig. I bumped the clock by like 180 megahertz. And it's rock solid.
Nice.
And Duff was excited because he got like 160. And I'm like, no, you can do better. And he was like, but it's the AI. And I'm like, I don't care. Do a manual overclock. And so I tell you all of that to say, while I was researching, I found out because MSI Afterburner is a software overclock, it will not harm your card in any way. Like, I checked four different places. And they're like, look, there's no way it could physically hurt your card if your fans are working. So I would say to you, sir, once you get a little comfortable with that, they are very overclockable cards, and it's very simple to get a massive boost out of it.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I have, so the one thing that I have played in having a new video card is not the Invincible, which I need to go play, but yes. I haven't fired it back up yet because I did exactly what you did when you got a 4070, and I said, okay, let's see it in Cyberpunk. I finally got in and respec'd my character because I haven't played since the 2.0 update and when they wiped everything and all that stuff. And so I spent not a ton of time in Cyberpunk, but enough time to be back in that world and enjoy it and see it.
Boy, isn't it fabulous? Isn't it great?
It's fabulous. Again, the game's just amazing and is gorgeous, which, you know, goes without saying at this point, but with ray tracing, ultra settings, all that kind of stuff, everything maxed out. And I right now on my entire system have everything at stock because in trying to troubleshoot the issue of it crashing, I went back and took off my processor overclock. I took off my speeding up my RAM. I did all the stuff to try to get everything out of the equation that could be causing an issue. And so I right now I'm just running it stock and it's, you know, 60-70 frames per second at, you know, 1440 with ray tracing and everything. And I'm just like, that's amazing. Like, you know, like that just,
it is.
I don't have to do any work and it looks fabulous. And I can do work and it's just going to be better. And I'm excited to do that because we love doing that stuff. But it's so rewarding to just say, oh yeah, I could just hit the button and it goes. And it's just great.
And it's even more rewarding in that when you do the work, you'll get 5, 10, 15 frames extra out of it, and it, like, you're like, cool, I did that.
You feel so accomplished.
It's such a geeky thing to do.
It really is, but it's so fun.
I will tell you, I have to admit this to you because we don't talk to each other unless we're on the air together.
Right.
But I feel like I need to give up my my card as an audio professional because I've been tweaking around with the settings here in the game room because I'm playing all kinds of different games and I'm doing all kinds of things and I'm trying to get the sound as good as possible. And I have not liked the volume on our new setup. There's just not a lot of volume. Like, it seems like you got to turn it all the way up. And so I'm digging through the settings yesterday, as a matter of fact, that I figure out that my TV, for some bizarre reason, is set to auto when it comes to audio output as opposed to pass-through. And when I switched it to pass-through, it made a huge difference. There was some sort of volume modulation or something going on.
Interesting.
Made a huge difference in audio for the room. And I just feel awful because this is what we both kind of do for a living and how it took me 4 months to find the one setting that made such a huge difference. So all of that to say, I'm still tweaking with the audio.
And last night I fired up Cyberpunk to see what it sounded like after I made that little change. And I got to tell you, we get you in here with some good audio. You think it's good now? We do. We'll add some good audio to it. You may not want to leave my house because it's real good.
Yeah.
That game's fabulous.
Yeah, it really is. It's spectacular. And we'll, you know, obviously we've talked about it a ton. I do want to hear about The Invincible because I have it on my system now. I just need to actually fire it up and spend some time with it. But the way you sold it makes me very excited.
Okay, so we're big fans of Firewatch.
Fantastic game.
I will tell you right now that if you are not a walking simulator person, this game is not for you. I honestly have to think that it's probably not for Duff, because Duff doesn't have just a whole lot of patience. I really think that it takes a certain person to want to play through The Invincible. I told you, because I know enough about you to know that you are an avid reader, and of all the friends that I have, I figured in your life you would have probably read some Jules Verne or H.G. Wells or something like that. If you've read any of that when you were younger, this game is for you. And you're basically walking around a planet that is trying to kill you. And it's fabulous. And there's no real gameplay. Like, it's point and click and listen to the fabulous voice acting. The story's good. The internet says it's 5 or so hours, about 5.5 hours. It took me 10. I think somebody needs to make an adjustment on the timing of these games and say it's 5.5 hours if you know exactly where to go and what to do.
Right.
Because I don't know how anybody could get through that game in 5.5, but it looks fabulous. It's done on Unreal 5, along with FMod, I think. And it's just, there's something about walking around a planet in a space suit trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
The audio is good. The sound is great. Voice acting is great. It's a really nice package.
Yeah.
I hesitate to call it a game because it really is just point and click and look at stuff. But like I said, we love Firewatch, so I think you're going to love it.
Yeah. If the narrative is there and the world is interesting, like, I'm for walking sim all day. Like, nothing wrong with that at all. As long as it's engaging, as long as you can get kind of lost in that world.
I will say that I don't think the narrative is quite as good as Firewatch, but it's good enough.
Like, yeah.
It's one of those, it's kind of like reading 2001. I know you probably read 2001 when you were younger. I did.
Yeah.
And the whole point of reading those books or watching those movies is you just want to know what happens next. And that's the entire thing with this, is that you're walking around this planet going, okay, what's going to happen next? And they did a really good job of like making you want to go, okay, I got to see what's going to happen here, because there are people here and they're all dead. Why are they all dead? I don't understand. It makes no sense. I really think you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited about it and to get into it and to get back into Final Fantasy at some point and to play more Cyberpunk and Do we have a ton of other games that are on the horizon or already out that we need to play? Because that's how things work. So,
yeah.
All that said, should we talk about some of those other games that exist?
We should. That we found out about. Never get to.
Right. Yeah. That we'll never play. Maybe some of them. Hopefully, some of them. So, like I said at the top, we're going to just cover quickly these other showcases that happened around Summer Game Fest. Still no word, as far as I'm aware. I haven't been following the news as closely, but through kind of just glances, nothing from Sony yet. So we're still kind of waiting to see if Sony decides to do something in the context of this summer. But we've heard
They did one like a week before
right.
everybody else. And so I'm wondering if they're just like, that's it.
Right. Which hopefully not, because that wasn't really anything. But I don't know what they've got coming. That's a discussion for another day. But if we don't hear from them, we will talk about them in that context probably the next time we do a show. So all that said, in this one, we're going to cover kind of the other stuff. So we'll start with Yubi. Yubi's obviously a big name, and they had a couple of big announcements that everybody obviously knows by now because it was a month ago, but we at least can have some thoughts on those. The way that they started out their showcase, which, by the way, again, just like trying to think back at this point to what that showcase was. If you remember, did you have any thoughts about the showcase in general?
You know what? They lean heavily on Star Wars, which you knew they were going to do. I don't think at this point for all of the, because we were doing this show when Disney bought ABC and Lucasfilm and all that, and I really had my worries about the whole Star Wars thing.
For sure.
But while I was playing with the sound yesterday in a room, I fired up Acolyte for 30 seconds because that's where I know I can get at most content. And like, I watched 30 seconds of the thing and I'm like, well, crap. Now I have to watch all 8 episodes of this. Because it really is, in general, the Star Wars content right now. I know I sound like a newfangled idiot, and there's probably purists out there going, it's awful, but I really like the Star Wars content right now. I feel the same way about Outlaws. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to play it. I talked about on previous shows that the space combat made me go, ooh, but other than that, you know, I'm pretty jazzed about it.
Yeah, I agree on all points, including the space combat part of it, which, to be fair, for me, at least, it hasn't ever been my favorite part of any of these games. And so I'm kind of looking at it like, okay, I can get through that, I think, for the other parts of the game, which very much look like, and it's no surprise from Yubi, but very much look like Far Cry, but Star Wars. And if right. you give me Far Cry, but Star Wars, like, I'm all about that. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Definitely lose myself in that game, and this feels like a game that I'll be able to do that. Probably a like solid 85 game. We talk about UB all the times that this is what they do. But if you give me like a solid 85 Star Wars adventure, that's not, and this is really, I do like this aspect of it, which seems counterintuitive, but it's not Jedi, it's not lightsabers, it's not like the, like,
it's Han Solo. Like,
it's yeah, it's you're playing essentially as like female Han Solo, but it's also to be like, what makes The Mandalorian brilliant is that it was such a different take on the universe, right? Like, it's Star Wars, but it doesn't feel like anything that's happened in the Star Wars world. And that, as this as a video game, I'm hoping can do that kind of same thing, not in the same tone or whatever that The Mandalorian is, because it doesn't feel like that at all, but in the same kind of changing your perspective on this universe that we know so well, because we've literally lived with it our entire lives. Like, we've had Star Wars since we were born. And so it's hard to make that fresh. And I'm hoping that they do something that makes it feel fresh again, that, like, I know Mos Eisley, that's great. And that's a familiar place, but I'm seeing it from a perspective that I haven't necessarily seen it from before, again, to explore in a different way.
And I hate to jump around, but you mentioning that made me think about that was a big point of the show, because later on in the show they talked about new Assassin's Creed, Mm-hmm. And Assassin's Creed is sort of similar in that way. You loved Assassin's Creed forever. I've watched you play it. It's been like your favorite thing because you like to travel. But the last few have sucked. And the new game, or the new couple of games that are out there, really feel like they're trying to put a fresh coat of paint on it. They're trying to give it a different perspective. And they're really interesting. So there was a theme for the UB show, I would say, putting a new spin on some stuff that we know and that we love and hasn't been super great in the last few years.
Yeah, I the only thing I would push back on that, I think the last few Assassin's Creed games have actually been really pretty solid. Odyssey was great.
Yeah.
Valhalla, by all accounts, because we haven't played it, is really good, but both of those games suffer from bloat. They're just big, and that's... Yeah. A barrier for especially where I am as a gamer right now and why I've never picked up Valhalla, even though I think I would probably thoroughly enjoy it. But I know the commitment it requires, and that is a barrier for me getting into that game. I don't know the scope of Shadows yet. The new one is Assassin's Creed Shadows. If it's going to be on that same kind of massive scope as the previous few have been, it does feel like it's hearkening back a little bit more towards what the Assassin's Creed games were early on, Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, which I would really like. There's a happy balance there because the big open world Assassin's Creed, I actually really dig and think is really interesting where you're not confined to just like this one city or a couple of different places. However, it does lead to this kind of overwhelming nature of it. If you could find how to bring back the kind of intimate feel of those earlier games without giving up the kind of open world exploration side of what the newer games have, that'd be great. I don't know that Assassin's Creed Shadows is going to do that, but it does look like a good game. It doesn't feel like Valhalla or Odyssey or Origins, which those three kind of all feel like they fit together. This feels like something new and different that may be another direction that we didn't get 20 new Assassin's Creed games because that's what they do. But we'll see what they do with it.
And just to jump one more time, they sort of did the same thing with Prince of Persia. They had like three distinct blocks in the show. Like, we're going to show you this, and we're going to show you this, and we're going to show you this. And they had like the Prince of Persia montage and talked about how the new game does things differently and how they're remaking Sands of Time, which I'm sort of kind of excited about because that game was great back in the day.
Yeah.
Like that again, I really think the theme of this show is we're taking what you know and what you like and trying to make it better. Whether they can actually do that or not, it's a whole other question.
Yeah, it is. It is a big question, but it's all familiar stuff. You're absolutely right. We know that Assassin's Creed has the like two protagonist thing, and so that's one way they're changing that up. Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, which is out, and they announced some DLC for it. I haven't played it yet, but looks great and has great reviews.
If you're gonna play that, would you please put that up on the?
Of course,
because I gotta see that.
Yeah, and it's one of those games that's always in the back of my mind, and when something pops up about it, I'm like, oh right, I need to play that desperately, and then I forget about it. And so right now it's again on the front of my mind. So I'm like, I got to find this game and figure out how we can play it because it really does look very cool. And again, has gotten really, really great reviews, which is great because Prince of Persia is a franchise you and I both like, but also haven't spent much time in since Sands of Time, which is pretty old at this point, old enough that they're working on this remake that has been plagued with a lot of delays and all this stuff. They said 2026 right now is the release date for it. We'll see if that happens. But Sands of Time is such a phenomenal game. Like the remake of that, it seems like a wise thing to do.
We don't. Well, you may have just answered my question. I was going to say we don't have time to do this, but can we have a small discussion? At what point do you feel like the remake thing is going to be overdone? Because if and wore any other title except Sands of Time, I don't think I'd be happy with it. And I feel the same way about Resident Evil. Like, I really want to play the Resident Evil 4 remake. I really like to play the Resident Evil 2 remake. But for the love of Mike, please don't remake 5 and 6. I'm not interested. So I'm curious to hear from you. Are we approaching the point where the remake thing is getting cumbersome? Because like you, I'm glad they're redoing Sands of Time, but every game ever made does not need to be remade.
This is true, and there's definitely examples. I imagine we both could point out of games that were like, nah, didn't need that one. And on the flip side, there's ones that are just so phenomenally well done. The Resident Evil games are apparently this way, though you and I haven't spent a whole lot of time with any of those remakes. But Final Fantasy, we could speak directly into, like, genius what they did with that, because they remade it, but then they did something completely different with it through this big monkey wrench into the whole thing. And so it's both a remake and a new game that stands alone on its own, and you know, like, that was really creatively done and excels. But there is a point when it does feel like a lot, especially when you're getting, what was it, there was something recent, I can't even think of it off the top of my, it's the Last of Us that I was thinking of. That The Last of Us got the remake, right? And it only been out for like 6 years. I'm like, why are we remaking this? Like, it's so, yeah, like, such a quicker, right. And like, the original holds up just fine. And that to me is like, if there's not something significant to add by doing the remake, what's the purpose of doing the remake other than just to make it prettier and asking for more money? Which, I mean, by all means, do that. Like, but I would rather a company's focus go into something new. Obviously, from my standpoint, that's what's beneficial. From a business standpoint, I understand why you go, hey, I bet we could do this thing that we already did. It's going to take less creative work to execute that, and we can make more money off of it. And from a business standpoint, that makes a whole lot of sense. From a consumer standpoint, I feel like there will come a time when we're tired of it. I don't feel like we've hit that threshold yet, because obviously there's still desire for some of these remakes, but at some point it does become a lot.
Okay, so I just want to add one more thing into that, because I think I know where the stop point is going to be. NVIDIA had a thing a couple of weeks ago where they teased new graphics cards, and they talked about AI and how it's going to change gaming. And they showed this demo, for lack of a better word, about how you could use AI to retexture some older games. And one of the examples in the demo was Portal, and how they did some things with Portal to remap it and to do ray tracing and all that. And I'm looking at that going, yeah, that's great. But like, what you guys are trying to do is find a reason to sell a 50 series. Like, I've been looking at the 50 series because, like you, I love the 4070s that we now both have. Like, these cards are great. I love NVIDIA Tech. If there was one company that I would invest in right now, it would probably be them, because there's no telling what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, when I don't care how good the 4070s we have are, when the 5 series comes out, we're both going to be looking at it going, yeah, I wonder what that does. and so I really don't know how I feel about it. It's kind of like Duff with the AI overclocking. I'm like, dude, shut up. Go get some software. Do it by hand. Like we've all done for the last 30 years.
Like a real nerd.
Yeah. I'm like, I did. I wasn't calling, but I'm like, shut your mouth about the free and the AI. I don't want to hear it. It's ridiculous. That's just, and I think I'm going to feel that way about these I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing, is if you add in like meaningful content, new narrative, that kind of stuff, way more interesting. If it is a HD version of whatever you did before, which is such an antiquated term now, even, but you get the point. Yeah, it's kind of whatever. So that said, that was most of what we got from Yubi. There was a handful of other things, but those were the three big things, as you mentioned. So we will let
you like how I did that.
That was great.
Pulled that up right out of the brain. Like I was just like, that will never happen again.
Moved us right on along there, which was which was good. So,
yeah.
I'll mention just really briefly, Devolver did their direct, which we always enjoy. It was weird this year, as it always is, in a very different way weird this year. And so for what that's worth, if you just want a like really trippy experience of like this creepy guy in his house kidnapping I don't even know what it is. I don't know. It was so strange.
So
go watch it.
Can I just say this about them? We have no idea what they do. Like, I don't think I have ever played a game released by Devolver as the publisher. Like, I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't, like, I had no idea what they do. In my mind, all they do is make weird stuff.
Yes.
I know there's all of these kitschy little Devolver games out there that are actual, real, legit games, but I'm not going to speak for you. I've never played a single one of them. And I don't think about Devolver Digital until it becomes this time of year, because I want to see what weird stuff they're going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree with that. There are some games that you probably don't realize that you've played that are Devolver games. Serious Sam, a bunch of Serious Sam games were published by Devolver. Hotline Miami, I'm just looking through their kind of catalog here to like, what have we played from Devolver? There's a handful of stuff. There's a skateboarding game called Ollie Ollie that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see here anything else big in the last couple years of stuff that they put out. They do put out weird stuff. The Talos Principle is, you know, one of those games that they show off.
I didn't know that one. Yeah,
which both of us really enjoyed the first one of those, and so which I haven't played the second one. I need to play that again. Another game on the list that needs to be played, because there's so many games that need to be played at this point. So all that said, they did show us some new games. We'll mention a few of those, if for nothing else, because of their weirdness. But I do love the weirdness of some of their games. There's a game called Possessors that's very Metroidvania that looks very cool. Oh, like I say Metroidvania, many of these games now are way more like Ori games. They are Metroidvania games. Ori, a game that really executed the Metroidvania thing well, but with a different artistic style, and this kind of has that artistic style of Ori and the Blind Forest or Will of the Wisps, which is cool. DLC for the Talos Principle, which is again great. The one that I wanted to mention, not because I'm ever going to play this game, because I'm most certainly not, but it popped up in a couple of different showcases, and it's so weird. I just had to bring it up. The Crush House. Do you remember The Crush House?
Okay, so can I tell you what caught my mind? What boggled my brain about The Crush House?
Huh.
The Crush House is being made by a female developer.
Yeah.
And like, I saw The Crush House and I was like, this is stupid. And then I got to the Devolver part of the show, and they actually talked to the developer, and I was like, okay, maybe it's not stupid, maybe it's just a little weird and it makes me feel uncomfortable, because it kind of does. Like, it's this weird Big Brother video game, and you like seems like the entire point is so I get laid. it's very uncomfortable.
It is. You're like the director of the reality show. And so you're like trying to like hook up people based off of like what the audience wants to see. And so like they have like weird different like interests or fetishes or whatever it is. And you're like, yeah, like let's get these two people in the hot tub together. It's like the Real World, which we grew up with, like the reality shows now, obviously, is ridiculous. But you and I like remember the OG reality show with the Real World. And it just is like it so harkens back to like what it was in those early days of just trying to create like ultimate like chaos and ridiculousness for a television audience. And
yeah,
it's a brilliant idea for a game. Like I'm not going to lie. It's genius for a game. I don't have any interest in it whatsoever, but I was watching it going, that's a good idea. Like you're on to something.
She's definitely on to something. It just makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
it's kind of like I was talking to Nate back in the day about Dead or Alive beach volleyball. Like it's just kind of one of those things that I feel like. If I'm going to play that, like, my house needs to be locked and my bedroom door needs to be closed and the shades need to be drawn. Like, we're just two old guys that grew up as Christians our whole lives.
Yeah.
It's just sort of the way that that's
still got some of that
awkward,
repressed stuff going on.
Yes, yeah,
for sure. So that was my one from Devolver. Now I was like, that's going to stick with me again. If I never play that game, it'll stick with me. So moving on to future game show, just on presentation here, hosted by Britt Baron, who is the voice of Tifa from the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which was pretty cool. And then Roger Clark, who is the voice of Arthur Morgan from Red
Dead
2.
He's done it 2 years in a row now, which
was cool. They did a good job, I thought. You know, the future game show is like one that just the past couple years has felt like it's really delivered pretty well. They have the cheesy, goofy banter stuff in there that sometimes is cringe, but like for the most part, they did a good job and the games were interesting. And it's a show that moves quick, which I really appreciate. And so, that's one that I now really look forward to, which I wouldn't have thought of a couple years ago of one that I would be looking forward to, but I really like it.
I think the reason we like it is that there's not a lot of fluff. Like it's just sort of here's what we've got, and usually it's pretty good stuff. There's not a whole lot of fluff.
Yeah, it's kind of like the PC game show, but like with less of the kind of sprawling, weird niche stuff that we get from the PC game show, which to be fair, is why we love the PC game show too. They can both exist and do different things and we love them both, but they have kind of the same general audience. It feels like it's a pretty heavy PC centric audience for the future game show as well, but it's just kind of more to the point and more kind of broad appeal games, less of the kind of getting in the nitty gritty niche stuff. But that said, it's a whole bunch of games you probably hadn't ever heard of until you see them here, because they're not the big name games. And so
they're not coming out this year.
It's obviously, as the name implies, a lot of looking ahead stuff. They're not quite everything, because one of them is out now. I don't even know when this game came out. Once Human. So Once Human is this open world survival game. Showed up a couple different times during Summer Game Fest stuff. I believe it's free to play. Am I making that up? Is that true?
I don't know.
I'm gonna check it out, but I feel like that might be true. Yes, it is free base game on Epic right now. And so I bring this up in part because I know a bunch of people who are playing this currently, my kind of high school friend group that we all played games together when we were young are all on a text thread, and they still play games together from time to time, which I haven't for a while, but this one came up just recently as the one that they're playing. And if I ever got some chance to actually try it out, I might actually get in there with them. But it's post-apocalyptic, open world survival. Like you gotta like build base and like it looks like farming and growing.
So stuff
but also zombies.
Essentially, so, Essentially, I think what you're talking about is Fallout 76 that doesn't suck.
Maybe, yeah. And that's kind of thing, because this same group of people that are playing this game right now were playing Fallout 76 together at one point and are now not and playing this instead. So I don't know what that means and whether or not that's it. But again, it's a free-to-play game, and so that obviously opens up the kind of world of it as well. And so it does look interesting. I'm going to solicit some more feedback from people I know that are playing it. But it's you know, kind of pretty post-apocalyptic. Like, it has a cool, more photorealistic kind of visual aesthetic to it, which a lot of the games that we're talking about don't have. That's going to be a theme in a lot of these games, is a lot of them are very stylized, be it anime stylized or whatever. This is the one that had the weird, like, walking school bus. Like, the school bus that got, like, taken over by whatever thing is that's taken over stuff in this world. I don't know. All that to say, it looks interesting. You can go out and play it right now, and it's free to play. And so maybe worth a look if that's something that you're interested in. I'm just kind of scrolling really fast through a handful of these. The Precinct, this one kind of looked cool to me because it reminded me of like old school Grand Theft Auto, like Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, the top down, but you're playing as the police.
Police car and ride around and got some trouble.
Yes, it kind of looked awesome to me.
It kind of also reminded me of old school Need for Speed, where that was the thing with old school Need for Speed, is you can like be the police.
That one I'm actually really looking forward to. It comes out this year too, and so a couple of these that are a little bit sooner. I'm trying to see what else here. This Dustborn one was an interesting looking one, kind of comic booky. Like, I believe this is the one that they really lean into the comic book. They actually call it a comic book in the game, like the way that it plays out. But it has that kind of cel shaded style to it. It makes it look very comic-y and was cool looking. There's a Starship Troopers game, which maybe there's more. I don't understand Starship Troopers. Like, I mean,
either
when that movie came out, like the original movie, whatever it was, 25 years ago when we were young at that point, like it was fine, and it was like this kind of goofy, like insects, like shooting insects, giant insects in the face movie. But like, it's still a thing. Like, they're making a game on Starship Troopers, and I just am like, what? Why? Like, how is this still a thing?
That's exactly what I thought. And their big thing was that we want there to be so many bugs that they pile up everywhere.
Yes.
I'm over them, and I'm like, why would you want to play that? Well, why? That's part of the reason I'm enjoying watching Stranger Things, because I know it's like gross stuff. Like, it's just, it's not,
It's not my thing, but maybe apparently there's an audience out there because people were really excited about it and cool, like glad you are, but not my thing. There were a ton of other games in there too, obviously, with the Future Game Show, but we'll move on to the PC Game Show and just hit a couple of things from that as well, including just the kind of show itself, which this was their 10th anniversary and they really leaned heavily into that, and so we had Day 9 back doing his thing and
whatever that is
which, like, I've just gotten so used to it at this point. And Frankie Ward, who has been a part of the PC Game Show for the past several iterations, was there, but not there completely, because she is apparently very pregnant in the showcase, but they still had her as part of that, which they have a very, very goofy dynamic, and the whole thing is always a little bit like ridiculous and over the top and sometimes too much.
I guess I've watched enough of it that it has grown on me.
Yeah.
Because I really like her. Like, I think you could replace him with her and it would be fine. I really like her.
I agree. They have both grown on me a lot, and I've, what I used to find more cringy, I find a little bit more charming at this point. Still cringe at a lot of times, but it's just like it. I love the fact that it just doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, they just are obviously trying to be goofy with it, and the PC game show has always been super goofy and doing weird things. Not like weird like Devolver, but just being like goofy for the sake of being goofy. And sometimes it doesn't work at all, and sometimes it's really actually pretty funny, and they have their moments, and so. That part of it's fun, and they did a good job. There was another presenter, Mika Burton, who was involved this year as well, and they did, you know, a bunch of riffs on about it being the 10-year anniversary, all that kind of stuff. So all that fun, good. Looking forward to game PC game show in the future. Games. This is always the most games for your time show of these. I think they had 70 plus trailers this year, and just so much content in it. So obviously trying to pick out any specific things in that is difficult, but we'll mention at least a few here.
We got to talk about, I don't know that it really... I think it came up in the PC game show, but I think we got to talk about Stormgate.
Yes.
Which is the RTS that has come from StarCraft guys. I'm really interested in this because I really like RTS games, but I'm really not good at them.
Yep.
And one of the selling points for this game is that it's supposed to be approachable for anybody that's just likes them, but just really isn't good at them.
Yes.
Yeah,
the way they're kind of selling it as like both and, that it's both for people who like are casual RTS people, which I am too. We played a lot of StarCraft 2. Together, and I against each other, but not against other people because we didn't want to get owned.
Yeah, we're not good,
but we like the idea of it, and they're fun. And we grew up with them playing Warcraft, the original Warcraft games before World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
like I feel like it's such an old fogey at this point, but like I remember back in the day when Warcraft was an RTS, not you know, a MMO, and that was what we grew up with. This feels like it does have that level of approachability with it, hopefully, while also this is the and part of that giving the depth and really the kind of minutia that like hardcore serious RTS people want, which Day 9 is one of those guys. Like that's where he came up, was doing RTS competitions and stuff. And so like having him bring in the developers and kind of talk about this game, like for me was fun just to watch because it's not my world, but I could see, you know, how enthused they were about it being their world, and that's infectious and cool. And yeah, I don't know how much time I will spend with it. The other nice thing about it for this conversation is it's free to play, and so like you don't have to invest and go, oh, this really isn't my thing, and then feel like you wasted $40 or $60 or whatever it is. We could go, okay, let's download it, let's try it out, and if it sucks or if it just is good but not our thing, we can go, cool, moving on, you know, and right. Not have lost anything with that.
I think I hate to admit it, but I think that ended up being the really big game of the show. There were lots of, I will mention, there were lots of farming sims, a lot of
Stardew Valley
type stuff. The same thing happened in the Wholesome Game Show. This was the year of the quote unquote cozy game, which I can't believe that's a genre now, but apparently it is. There are people that's what they're looking for, and that was a huge deal this year. Even in PC gaming show was cozy gaming titles.
Yeah, for sure. And I like those kind of games. The kind of check your brain life.
I'm just saying, I never thought there would be a genre of
right.
The
trick with them is that they're so they kind of have to. they're so niche specific. So there was one, I remember, I'm trying to find it so I can tell you the name of it, because I don't remember the name off the top of my head. But there was one from the PC game show that you're, that's like witches, that it reminded me of, oh my goodness, what's the game Lake, that you're delivering mail. Like this one, you're delivering packages, but you're on a broom because you're a witch. And it was like this kind of similar type of life sim, but in this weird world where everybody's a witch or whatever. And I was like, it's not for me, you know. Like, I like the idea, I would play a game that was like that, but this specific iteration of that idea isn't for me.
Like, I don't want to do a whole bunch of like witch stuff. Like, I'm not into that. And I kind of felt the same way, and part of that is probably us just being old and kind of like set in our ways. But Midnight Sun kind of leans into that kind of witchcrafty kind of a thing. And like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, I'm like, give me the superheroes and just be done with it. Like the only witchcraft I really want to see is like Harry Potter. Like, okay, cool. I'm cool with that. Otherwise, nah. So,
yeah, I'm with you. There are a couple of these kind of life sims I'm really looking forward to. One of them is the Shire one. You live in the Shire and are a hobbit, and that just, you know, like that hits us. That's spot on who we are. There was one in the PC game show that looked kind of cool, which is called Ale Abbey, which you play.
Yeah.
A monk making beer at a monastery. Like, you're just making beer and running a monastery. And that one, I was like, yeah, I could do that. That looks cool.
Yeah. Speaking of monks, this is a random aside.
I didn't see where this goes.
Have you done the Cyberpunk side quest where you follow the monk around the city and meditate? If you found
that? I've not done, I don't think so. I don't recall.
Those are interesting. Like, I followed that dude around for like an hour and a half last night. He you find him walking on the street, and he's like, hey, you want to meditate? And he's like, sure. And so every time you do it, he pops up again, and it's a legit quest, and like, you put on the brain dance gear and he zaps you into like last night. It was, I did two of them, and one I was sitting in front of a waterfall, and the other one I was sitting in front of a campfire, and he's just like leading this meditation. And I'm like, this is a weird thing to do, but it's cool. So yeah, if next time you fire up Cyberpunk, see if you can find that guy.
That actually sounds phenomenal. I really want to do that. I'm going to seek him out. So for sure. By the way, Crescent County was the name of the weird broom delivery game. There you go. The other thing I'll mention that we got a whole lot of across the board. I saw this a ton in the PC game show, just based off of volume of that show. But this was across a lot of the shows. Lots of anime style games.
And
it's just not my thing. And again, it's not a knock on it. Again, people love anime. I totally get it. I think the success recently of the Persona games, like, they've always been popular and successful and have been kind of I don't even know if I want to say cult hit, but, you know, something like that. But I feel like they've really gotten more traction recently and have come more to the mainstream. It feels like that has kind of upped the number of that same kind of art style that we're seeing in other games. And it's just not for me. And I wish it was, but it's not.
I feel like this is going to be one of those genres that, because it's not for me either. But I think that, you know, we always talk about when your kids grow up and you retire and we don't have anything to do and we can just do this. I feel like that type of game, we're going to find one that is just fabulous, that we like totally fall in love with. And then we're going to go down the rabbit hole and go, why the crap didn't we play these?
Yeah,
I that's what it feels like to me, because I'm the same way. I'm not really into it, but we find one like a Persona, for example, and go way down that rabbit hole, and then we're gonna be like, why did we not do this?
Yeah, for sure. I put, I don't know, 5 hours or so into Persona 5. Not a ton of time, but enough to get a good taste of it. And it's a game that I really want to go back to because I really did enjoy it. And it's fun, even with the art style not being necessarily to my taste. And it being so disconnected from me as a 41-year-old man now, like the idea of like playing as this high school kid and dealing with high school drama and doing all that kind of stuff. Like the older I get, the more foreign that feels to me. But it still was such an intriguing idea and an interesting gameplay mechanic and that kind of stuff. That I'm like, oh, if I had the 50 or 60 hours that it really takes to get this game in, I would go and get this game in. But I just don't have it. And because the art style isn't as captivating to me and because I don't relate as much with the kind of character side of it, like I just can't justify that over Spider-Man or Final Fantasy or Cyberpunk or on and on all the games that we are playing and need to play that are going to come before that. Again, like you said, if we were just retired, we could just play games all day. Like it would get into the rotation, but it doesn't have that space right now.
That's right.
Just a bummer. One more game I want to mention just really quickly here. Screenbound. This is the most fascinating game I think I saw of the whole Summer Game Fest kind of
It showed up era. A couple different places.
It did show up a couple of different places. It's such a weird and interesting concept that you're like playing both a 2D side scroller and a 3D game at the same time, but you're playing on like what equates to a Game Boy that you're holding in front of you, like on screen, like you can see your hands holding the console in front of you. And then behind that is the world, the 3D world. And so you're navigating on this little Game Boy screen in 2D, but also seeing the 3D world, which obviously opens up like tons of puzzle and exploration stuff that just really fascinating. I cannot figure out if this game is going to work and be fun on any level. But if it does, it could be one of those games that we're talking about for a long time. Something like Braid that really was like, oh, you did something that we're familiar with in a way that's so different that like it really sticks with us. This game feels like that to me if it executes.
See, I don't know that it's going to execute for us, but I will tell you, I have a friend that has been working with me on some occupational therapy 3 days a week for several months. And she's somewhat younger than me, but we get along really well. And we were talking about cell phones earlier today. And I mentioned the fact that I did not have a cell phone until I was like 35. And I think you were a little younger when you got yours, but not still, much.
Yeah.
Not much. You were 20 something when you got your first cell phone, because I remember you had a landline at the house, just I did,
for sure.
I called it,
right?
You had an answer machine, the whole thing. But anyway, the long story short about this, I mentioned that to her, and she was like, I had a cell phone when I was 9, and I was like, okay, oh, that's a little weird. But. There are generations of people right now, your kid's going to be included, because they're going to grow up in this, that have just been around screens all their life.
Yeah.
And I think they are going to really resonate with this. Like, I saw it and I was like, that's a cool concept. I don't know that I want to play a game that way, but if you live your life on a screen, I could see where it would be totally interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And again, as a gameplay mechanic, I think it might be able to transcend that. I just don't know until you get your hands. It's one of those ones that like you can show me all the video of this you want to until like I actually play it. I can't tell you if it translates or not, what it looks like.
It's kind of what you were talking about last week about not really caring about the story of Cyberpunk. I thought about this last night as I played. I don't really care about the story of Cyberpunk either. It's about the gameplay and the stuff that I'm doing. If they pull the gameplay off on this title, then we're totally going to be addicted to it. But it's, can you pull the gameplay off?
Yep. Yeah, it's a 100% gameplay game. We talk about games that are dependent on story, games that are dependent on gameplay. There's some that are, you know, heavily weighted one way or the other. And this is obviously going to be a 100% gameplay kind of game. If they pull it off, I think it'll be really cool. So that was the big one that stuck out to me. Again, a little indie game, really random. There's the developers did a good kind of talking about like coming up with the concept and all that stuff, which was pretty fun to hear. So I encourage you to check it out if that's something that you didn't see during Summer Game Fest. So that said, there's, again, tons of stuff that we didn't talk about. So if there are any games that we haven't talked about from this summer that you would like to either hear us talk about or you would like to talk to us about, we would love both of those things. And as a message, you got tons of places to get us. Email gaminguncensored@gmail.com. You can get us on Facebook. Is a great place to do that. The voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
509-GAME-210 is still alive and still working, and so we would love to hear your thoughts there. Just call in, leave a message, and we'll play it and talk about it. But we do want to hear about games that you guys are interested by, because obviously there's a lot of stuff we didn't talk about, and obviously there's a lot of stuff that's not that interesting to us, but that doesn't mean it's not good. And so now, we want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I will say this. He has a new video card. I have a reasonably new video card. We're happy to be playing with new tech. I'm already overclocking. He's going to be overclocking because that's who we are. We tinker with these things. All of this to say, if there's one of these titles that we need to play this last week and a half, like I said, Dove sent me The Invincible and was like, here. You don't have to send us the title, although if you want to send us the title to have us play it, we'll do that.
Yes.
But we're more than happy to go pick up a title if there's a game out there that you're like, look, guys, I know it's not your thing, but you got to play this. This is why we have this show. Please let us know what's out there. Please let us know what we need to be playing, because believe it or not, we spend more time playing stuff for this show than we do playing stuff that we actually want to play. Because if we played all that we wanted to play all the time, all we would ever play is Balatro. If you would like us to play some stuff, please let us know. Which, by the way, before we wrap up, when's the last time you fired up Balatro?
It's been a little bit. I did make sure it was re-downloaded, because I had to re-download stuff after I tried to troubleshoot my system. So I have it re-downloaded, but I haven't fired it up in a while.
Have you, I'm assuming that you haven't found the save function, which I find interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That you gotta, I didn't even know they put it in. The last time I fired it up was a week and a half ago and it updated. And I was like, well, that's weird. I fired up, and it turns out the last time that I had closed the game, it was in between hands, and it saved.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I still don't know how it works. I assume if you lose, because it's a roguelike, I assume if you lose, you have to start over.
You would assume, because it does kind of defeat the purpose of the gameplay mechanic.
But I really like the idea of saving in between hands. That's really cool, because it allows you and me that don't have a whole lot of extra time to be like, okay, I got to go.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so that's cool. So definitely check that out. I think you'll dig that.
Yeah, me too. One game I'll mention really quick that we will take a look at that I wasn't anticipating us taking a look at is Black Myth Wukong that we talked about on a previous show. We will take a look at it because that's the game, as you know, oftentimes when you buy a new NVIDIA card, it comes with a game. And that's the game that my NVIDIA card came with, is Black Myth Wukong. And so we will check it out, which was the game I was anticipating checking out, because you and I both talked about how we have no idea what to make of that game.
Right.
Now we have a copy of it, so we can check it out.
We've got the game with the guy that pulls the stick out of his ear. Like...
Yes. I'm excited to see how that plays out. So we will be taking a gander at that and tell you what we think. May not be a long gander, but we'll see. But it is pretty. And so it'd be fun to just make the video card work on a pretty game, because that's a fun thing to do now.
Yes, yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not aware, we really love doing this show, and we appreciate all of you listening the way that you do. We have no idea why you listen. We have no idea why you're still here. But it allows us two old men to continue to do what we love. Otherwise, we wouldn't be playing games ever, and that would be a miserable, miserable existence. And so we greatly appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. I will say, I got all the way to the end of the show and didn't say it, but the man over there had a birthday a couple days ago. And I wasn't going to say a lot about the birthday, because we're at a point, like, we don't need to talk about that. Like,
nope.
That's all that needs to be said. But I will say, if you want to see something that is fairly interested, you should take a look at the copious amount of California dad pictures that are available on the Facebook page.
Yes.
I found really interesting this man holding a baby in a chest artist while he walks around San Francisco. It was very interesting.
Yes.
If you are friends with either one of us, you will be able to find those. If you please friend one of us, because they are some really interesting pictures. I don't know if you noticed this, but I didn't realize, when did you get the tint on your glasses?
So I have sunglasses that I've had for a while that I have prescription, because obviously I wear glasses. So I have prescription sunglasses.
I dig those. I was like, those are nice.
Yeah, I really like them. So that's my, when I'm out and about or driving or whatever, like it's nice to have sunglasses. And I haven't, like, my whole life, I've just never been a sunglasses person until just a couple years ago I got those. I'm like, oh, these are cool.
I've got these aviators, which I was going to wear during the show, and then the whole thing fell apart. I think now I'm going to be a sunglasses guy, because I'm like, I can wear these.
Yeah. I feel like as you get older, it's like, oh, man, the world is bright, and that sucks. I need protection.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at in life. I just, you know, this was my 41st birthday, and so it's like the birthday, like, it's not novel being 40 anymore. You're just in your 40s. And like,
yeah.
Well, that's where we are. We're just 40-year-old dudes at this point. The guys in their 40s. So,
yeah, that's the only benefit that he has is that I'm going to reach 50 before he does. That's pretty much it.
It's coming up quick, my man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we appreciate y'all very much for hanging out with us and allowing us to do what we do. For now, that is all we've got. As he said, Facebook page, Gmail, we need an Instagram, so if you want to help us start an Instagram, please let us know. I will tell you that I don't know if I told you this off air, but our buddy Jeff, that has been involved with this show for years, I hired his 18-year-old son a couple of weeks ago to work with me on the weekends. And he really thinks he's going to be successful with social media. He really wants to be a social media guy. And so I may just, like, hand him the keys and be like, here, start all the social media that we don't have.
Right.
And see what you can do with that. Because we're not interested. So if there is a social media outlet that you think we need, please let us know. We might even let you run it, because we're definitely not going to.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that's it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been The Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's only on GamingOnSister.com, and oh yeah, it's an extravaganza, and we're out!
Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.